From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the ninth day of March 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a pair of farm state senators have moved to block U.S. EPA from charging fees to livestock farms. And Merrill Lynch is predicting the price of ethanol will increase. Dave Dickey has details later in the program, and then he'll stay with us to discuss tomorrow's all-day ag outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And in 26 minutes, as we close out the program, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby March wheat at $5.13, down 3.25. May at 3.75 lower, 5.23 1/4 settlement price. In July wheat, soft red, 5.35 1/4, down 3.5. Kansas hard red, March contract at 5.69 3/4 for the lead option, gained or was up 1 penny 3/4. March corn futures at 3.57 1/4 settlement price, up 4.5 cents. May 4 cents higher at 3.65 1/2, and July at 3.75 1/4, up 4 1/4. September contract 3.84, up 4 3/4. December corn $3.96, 5 1/4 cents higher on the day. As soybean futures, $8.81, up 2. May futures down 2 at 8.65. July at 8.63, 3 lower. And the August contract down 2 cents at 8.51. Now the September, a gain there, up 0.5 cent at 8.28 1/2. November beans, 8.17 1/2, up 2.5 cents. March bean meal futures gained 80 cents to finish at 2.75, but the May contract lost 30 to settle at 2.65. May March bean oil at 30.51 on a settlement price down 25 cents. The May futures there down 27 at 30.76. April live cattle, 83.20, up 75. June at 81.57 1/2, up 50. And the March feeders, 90.72 1/2, 22 1/2 higher. April 90.92 1/2, up 30, and the April lean hogs at 62.42 1/2, 7.5 cents lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil is trading $47.07 a barrel at the end of the day, down or rather up $1.55 in the April contract. The May futures at $48.06, 34 cents higher. April ethanol at $1.52 1/2, 1 penny 9 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.85 1/10 for the lead option, down 9 4/10 cents. And the RBOB at $1.33 8/10, just 6 cents higher. April heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.21, is up rather down now, 1 1/10. And the propane futures at 62 cents, or 1 penny 2 tenths higher. Gold futures are trading at $917.70 at this hour, down $24.40. Then the Dow stands just about 39 points lower at 65.87 on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 89.00 is up 0.45 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. There is a flash flood watch in effect for much of the northern half of Illinois and the northern third of Indiana from this evening through tomorrow morning. Tonight, skies should be mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rainfall resulting in that flash flood may be possible, especially after midnight. Lows will range from near 40 in the northern parts of the two-state region to 56 in the far south. Tuesday, occasional showers and thunderstorms, severe storms, and heavy rainfall are possible. Highs will range from 52 in northwestern Illinois to 76 in the far southern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says a vigorous storm system will bring heavy rain to the two-state area. The heaviest rain is expected across north-central Illinois into northern Indiana. Many of the same locations that received up to 4 inches of rain last Friday through Sunday could pick up another 2 inches of rain by Tuesday evening. Temps will seesaw between above average early in the week and below average on Wednesday and Thursday.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. The 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting may be our best ever. Featured analysts include Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, University of Illinois Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. That's March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting: the Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Kurt, are you all ready, Kurt, to make the big trip over to see us at the Beef House tomorrow?
Boy, we are. We're always excited about this meeting. There's going to be a lot of different opinions and views there, but we really enjoy being able to visit personally one-on-one with your listeners there, Todd.
Well, it should be a fun day. Kicks off at 7:15 Central for registration, 8:15 in the Eastern time zone. The Beef House is a great place to eat, and for the $16 fee, you get to eat there at the noon hour at a minimum. And it's a great day-long event. We'll be wrapping up, I would think, probably around 3 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. So it's a good day, easy to get there, easy to get back home on time. And it's just off of exit 4 on I-74. So I know you'll be making that quick trip tomorrow. What are you going to tell the guys?
Well, I think the main question is managing risk. Until we really see this economy start to stabilize or see overall demand prospects to pick up in through here, we kind of feel that as a producer, at least, our risk is to the downside here as we go into the growing season. So I think it's sort of a management situation where we need to minimize our downside risk and to try to survive here for a year, because longer term in here, if we do see inflationary fears kick in and see this economy stabilize, the momentum could be back up to the upside. But our fear is that we need to manage risk for this 2009-2010 crop year, Todd.
Yeah, supply you were hopeful of, but you're still not particularly inclined to think that the market's going to go higher. This despite the fact that corn came in with a 40.6 million bushel inspection figure for the day.
Good day on the grains in general. Corn, good inspection number. Demand's fairly decent. Even bean demand's robust. Talk of Chinese bean demand remaining somewhat strong. And even the demand side, investor demand. Jimmy Rogers over the weekend talked about farmers driving Lamborghinis versus the stock market brokers, that agriculture's got a bright future here. So that's the whole key, is to keep demand solid here. Then we'll sort of see what the government numbers are at the end of the month in here as far as planting to acreage goes, and the analysts will put that in their supply-demand balance sheet and go from there.
What are you talking to them about soybeans? Are you still concerned about South America at all?
Well, near-term soybeans is the bright spot, as far as demand goes with Asia. As we look down the road in through here, we need to get through South American harvest. We'll see if there's any weather delays in harvest. Brazil's projected to be about 30% complete with harvest now. We'll see if there's a farmer strike, dock strike. But the thing is, as we see the numbers here on Wednesday on Brazilian and Argentine bean production, we got to realize probably the most important number is their ending stocks estimate. And right now, Argentina and Brazil holds about 73% of the world ending stocks on beans. So even though their production might be a little short, they still have plenty of inventory to sell and put on the market yet. But once we get past the South American weather, we'll focus on our acreage and our weather forecast here in the U.S. to see where we are on our supply-demand balance sheet.
Tell me more about that ending stocks number in South America, especially as it pertains to Argentina. What happens if the government decides to nationalize those grains and oilseed sales?
Well, when you have the government involved in it, it's going to put put the marketing or the export number is sort of in their hands. And as far as how readily those supplies flow in and out of the country there, that'd be the last thing you want to see is some type of government controlling that. The other side of the equation is the give or offset that is on export tax size equation. The world really needs these beans. They hold the overall biggest supply of beans on the world. The failure to see these beans flow freely out of the southern hemisphere would probably put our bean in a position here we could maintain a premium going clear into early summer.
And finally, we'd probably be amiss if we didn't talk just a bit about the Dow for the day.
Boy, some talk the Dow could probably slip on down to the $5,000 benchmark. That kind of kept a lid on all of the commodities in general here. Continued concern about how the banks are faring here, even though deposits are safe in banks. It's just the structure of the banks themselves, whether or not they could survive, has continued to pressure the market. The talk still runs rampant of being able to attain credit. I know on the agriculture side, visiting with most producers, credit was obtainable here this winter. But the small business credit line, even jumbo loan credit for larger houses is a question mark. So until we address these issues and regain confidence, it's going to be a downhill slide here for a while.
All right. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Very good.
All right. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And if you'd like more information on our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, those who are going to speak and what time and the cost and all sorts of things, it does pick up tomorrow at the Beef House. You can find that information on our website along with all kinds of agricultural programming. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Please visit the website. Sign up for the newsletter if you get the opportunity. Download a podcast or the MP3 files. It's there for you. And if you'd like anything else on the website, including those USDA numbers, they'll be there when that report comes out Wednesday of this week. Let us know. And you can do that at willag.org, too. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, two U.S. senators have introduced a bill to try to prevent the Environmental Protection Agency from charging farmers fees for the greenhouse gases emitted by livestock. The EPA proposal unveiled last year would charge farmers for the methane coming out of their livestock, and the cost to producers would be substantial. The American Farm Bureau Federation estimated the EPA proposal would cost a medium-sized dairy farm with 75 to 125 cows between $13,000 and $22,000 a year. The bill seeks to amend the Clean Air Act by adding that, quote, no permit shall be issued under a permit program under this title for any carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxide, water vapor, or methane emissions resulting from biological processes associated with livestock production. The National Grain and Feed Association says a study suggesting the Chicago Board of Trade's beleaguered wheat contract has not been ruined by huge inflows of Wall Street money is essentially inconclusive. The study was released last week by Informa Economics. It covered January of 2005 through June of 2008, and it analyzed commitments of traders data, specifically broken down by the CFTC into five categories: small trader, commercial, non-commercial, indexer, and money manager. NCFG says the complexity of CFTC's categories lead to questions about how valuable the study is. The Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute says the average crop revenue election farm payment program will pay growers $4.8 billion from crops harvested in 2009 and 2010. The University of Missouri think tank says Acre will pay more on average for northern growers in coming years than they give up in traditional subsidies. For growers in the South, traditional subsidies will provide more support. Merrill Lynch is predicting U.S. ethanol prices are likely to rise, boosted by reduced supply and growing demand. Merrill reduced its estimate for global biofuels output in 2009 to 1.9 million barrels per day, down from a previous forecast of 2.1 million barrels. The report said mandated targets will push up consumption against a constrained supply environment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lerner Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lerner Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Don't forget, tomorrow's our big all-day Ag Agricultural Outlook meeting over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Director of Ag Programming at the station will be in a moment to talk to us a bit more about that. His name is Dave Dickey. On the line with us, though, now from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Greg Johnson to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about cash grain in our area.
Well, we're starting to see a little pickup in movement. We had a little bit of a rally late last week and started off this week with a little bit of a rally, not much, but we're headed in the right direction, especially with the stock market down and some of the other outside markets relatively weak, the dollar strong. The fact that corn has been able to go up 2 days in a row is a pretty good sign. So farmers would like to move some of this old crop corn prior to getting out in the fields, and so basis levels have really improved over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and we're starting to feel like maybe they're a little toppy, and especially if we get this little bit of a rally towards the end of the month and get corn closer to $4 on the board, we think farmers will sell some corn, and so we've been encouraging people to lock in basis levels now and wait for a 20-30 cent rally in the futures market and then get that corn sold before the basis sells off.
Very quickly, we've heard many of our analysts talk about corn in the bins just because the corn went in not such great condition last fall. What are you hearing from the countryside?
Yes. Corn went in wet, 17-18%, which I guess typically isn't real wet, but compared to the last three or four falls, that's wetter than what it has gone in. Luckily, we had a very cold December and January, so I don't think too much corn spoiled, but if the temperatures do start warming up, 17-18% moisture corn in 60-65 degree temperatures is not a good combination. So the thing to do is to get that corn moved out, at least core, to see, make sure, and just keep an eye on it every couple of days.
What are you hearing about the soybean market?
Soybeans, there's not that many left to sell.
Right.
And I think people are hoping, I don't know if that's a good strategy or not, they're just hoping that something, maybe the Argentine farmers hold on to their beans a little bit longer, maybe beans go up in sympathy with corn, but just kind of hoping to get them back to that $9 level for old crop and $8 for new crop, and you know, people will make some sales. But if they don't get there, obviously crop insurance is the way to go to protect your new crop beans, because if the price does drop, then a revenue-based policy will help that. So I think that's kind of the strategy for beans right now.
No, we need an Argentine strike to put a little bump in the marketplace, don't we?
We need something.
Anything else besides your numbers for the day?
I think that should be about it. We look forward to seeing everybody over at the Beef House tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have some good news. Usually, if it's not the weather that we talk about, it's something exciting in the market, so hopefully we'll have something good to talk about tomorrow. Here at the Andersons, cash corn is 365, new corn 361, cash beans are 865, new beans 772, and new wheat is 346.
Thanks much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joined us on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's take a look at what it will be happening tomorrow at our all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting. Dave Dickey is the Director of Agricultural Programming at our home radio station. That's WILL AM 580 in Urbana, Illinois. And he has been busy over the last 3 or 4 months organizing that event. Dave, it looks like you've outdone yourself this year. There are lots of great names on the agenda for tomorrow.
There certainly is, Todd. We're very pleased with how the agenda has come together. We're calling it the changing paradigm of farming because at least in the 5 or 6, 7 years that I've done this job, things have changed a lot. And I'm thinking that producers need to be more nimble on their feet than ever before, at least in the time I've been doing this job, in order to make wise marketing decisions and perhaps have some profitability in a 2009-2010 year. We have Glenn Ring coming in. Of course, he is from Glenn Ring Enterprises, and those folk, Todd, that were there a year ago, remember around lunchtime, Glenn picked up the microphone and he talked about gold.
Yep.
And at that time, we were kind of saying, what the heck is Glenn talking about?
Yeah.
But looking back at it now, Glenn sure the heck knew what he was talking about based on what we saw in the marketplace since that meeting heading into this year's meeting with the Dow breaking significantly over the last 12 months, as well as the S&P 500 and commodities falling by the wayside as well. Influences for 2009 grain futures and grain prices. We have Perry Dixon, the ADM economist, coming by from Decatur to look at world economic outlook forecasts. Murray Wise of the West Chester Group out of Naples, Florida, will come in, and he'll talk about land values for 2009 and beyond. And then Bob Bastifer, who is the Senior Vice President of Commercial and Agribusiness Banking out of First Midwest Bank in Decatur, will talk about production costs and farm revenues from the banker and farmer perspective. As you know, you probably have to put a little bit more money aside than ever before in order to make arrangements with your banker.
Indeed, all of those things happening tomorrow. I was thinking, just speaking of Murray Wise, I was thinking about this today, Dave. I was thinking about land purchases and what that might entail in the next several years. So I went back and I pulled some numbers. I picked these up off Missouri Extension sites, but they're USDA numbers, on the dollar value of property over time. And did you know, Dave, that in 1920, farmland topped in Illinois and Iowa, maybe the U.S., but I know the Illinois-Iowa numbers were topped. And then it took until 1933 for them to bottom. Mm. Now, I found that interesting, thinking that 1928-29 would have been the top. It was not. It was much earlier than that. But they lost 40% of their value or something along those lines. And then in the 1980s, we know that a farm crisis occurred, and we dropped the price of land value drastically then. The top came in 81, the bottom in 87. So it'll be interesting to see how farmland plays out, whether we're at a top or whether we're just at a stepping stone at this point. And I bet Murray Wise will have something else to say tomorrow about that. And we'll all be there with you all day long at the Beef House.
Yes, we will. 8:15 Eastern Time is for registration. Cost just $16, includes a breakfast and a lunch.
Thanks much. That's Dave Dickey. He is the Director of Agricultural Programming at our home radio station. That's in Urbana, public radio station WILL. We appreciate him dropping by with us here on the Closing Mark Report. On a Monday afternoon, we'll continue our program in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Crab Meat Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, the first U.S. patent for a street mailbox was issued to Albert Potts of Philadelphia. It comprised a simple metal box designed to attach to a lamppost. By August, the boxes were found along the streets of Boston and New York City. In 1876, the new state of Colorado created a state board of agriculture to oversee a new agricultural college, which, according to its formation document, shall be a high seminary of learning in which graduates of both sexes can study those sciences and arts which bear directly on agriculture. In 1891, the Washington State Legislature approved the Puyallup Agriculture Experiment Station to study horticulture. In 1900, Howard Aiken was born, an American mathematician. He invented the Harvard Mark I, the forerunner of the modern electronic digital computer. By the way, the machine weighed 35 tons and had 500 miles of wire. In 1974, about 9,000 ILWU sugar workers went on strike for 39 days in opposition to plans by Grove Farm to displace some 100 workers. By the way, at the time of the strike, sugar came in at $300 to $350 a ton. Soon after, it went as high as $1,260 a ton because of an international shortage of sugar. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy joins us from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
I guess you're actually on the phone, but I like the fact that you're on the 23rd floor, too. That's just so much fun. Tell me about the weather forecast. Looks like it's going to be kind of interesting for the Midwest over the next 24 hours, for sure.
Yeah, well, we had this pretty big rain event across portions of the northern Midwest this past weekend, and we have another cyclone lining up to bring rainfall starting, you know, overnight tonight and into the duration of tomorrow. And this storm system is moving out of the central plains today and really starts to wrap up and intensify as it moves northeast towards Wisconsin, then into the upper Great Lakes by Wednesday morning. And the really potent punch of cold air behind this storm system, it stays across the U.S.-Canadian border. And before that cold air, at least we do have a cold front passage here late on Tuesday into Wednesday morning. It could get an inch, inch and a half, isolated totals above 2 inches with this rain event across southern Iowa, northern Missouri, across Illinois into Indiana. So a good soaking rain here for the belt. And, you know, if it was a month later, I think this would cause some concern. But here we're still, it's only March 9th, 10th, and it'll be another event that just continues to provide ample soil moisture before we get into the fields later in the month and into the month of April.
Well, there are flash flood warnings and watches, actually watches out, I guess, at this point for parts of Illinois and Indiana, and they got really hammered last week. I think some 4 inches in some places.
Yeah, and even the event this past weekend across northern Illinois was a prolific rain producer, you know, widespread 2-3 inches. And on top of rain that occurred earlier last week, the soils, at least in northern portions of the Midwest, are saturated. So any additional rainfall at this event really is just going to run off into the rivers and the streams and cause some flooding. So those flood watches are posted with good reason, and there will be excess moisture flowing down towards the valleys with this event, that's for sure.
You know, the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the nation sure would like some of this rainfall. Have they gotten any of it, or will they?
They haven't really. There's a lot of storm systems coming out of the Rockies towards the, you know, through the plains and off to the points east, but it's really not a big rain producer for any of the heart of the hard red acreage. We still only see with these systems going through 20% coverage of totals up to a half inch. Most of the rain starts eastern Kansas, eastern Oklahoma, and then parts of the hard red there in Nebraska, the areas that do get more moisture with this. So the dry areas, the panhandles of Texas and Oklahoma, western Kansas, they really don't get a lot of moisture out of this again. So it's this classic pattern we've seen all winter persisting here for the next couple weeks.
And anything around the globe we ought to be talking about?
Pretty quiet. Major wheat areas are getting beneficial rains in Kazakhstan, Russia, as well as parts of Australia. So it's things are improving here on the world wheat scene.
Josh, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. Boy, I hope I see you tomorrow over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Registration starts at 7:15 Central, 8:15 if you're in the Eastern time zone. We'll run all day long at the Beef House, and it's $16. Come on over and see us tomorrow. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.